to know with your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
And I'm Juan Garcia.
And we are back in 2025 for Season 2 of Vamos Verde.
We give you an inside look at Austin's Major League Soccer team, Austin FC.
And we also give you a deeper look into the art and culture surrounding the team and the city of Austin.
The players.
The artists.
People you know.
People you need to know.
Listen to Vamos Verde every other week from KUT Radio, part of the NPR network. From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Back in, I'll call it 2015, 2016, now just kind of started seeing the shift towards, you know, fashion within sports, right? Whether it was what are guys wearing on draft night or what's Russell Westbrook wearing walking into the game this week, you know, what's Cam Newton wearing walking into the game. So I just started to see that blend, and I just had the thought, like, you know, man, you know, this could, you know, what if there was a way to represent your favorite team or your alma mater, your college, with a suit?
Carlton Dixon, former Star High School and collegiate basketball player, high school coach and athletic director, and founder and CEO of Reveal Suits. In 2018, former high school athletic director and basketball coach and University of Texas at Austin alum Dixon launched Reveal Suits. Reveal Suits specializes in crafting high-quality custom suits and blazers for both men and women. Today, Reveal Suits has licenses for 90 colleges and is generating over $1 million a year. The company has landed apparel contracts to suit up inductees for the College Football Hall of Fame, National Soccer Hall of Fame, and members of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame for bowl games, the NFL Alumni Association, HBCU All-Stars, the Ivy League, and the Big 12 Conference. I'm John L. Hansen, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Reveal Suits with founder and CEO Carlton Dixon, In Black America.
I was a student of, you know, of course, basketball, but I was also, you know, I was wanting to know and get a better insight into just kind of the madness behind what was on the court. I wanted to, you know, I was interested in the marketing, and I was interested in how they would reach out to the local elementary schools and get them involved. You know, I was just wanting to know a lot about just the machine that was Texas Athletics. And I think I knew at that time that I was going to end up being, you know, I actually was more focused on becoming an athletic director than I was a coach, but fortunately, I ended up accomplishing both.
As a national merit finalist and basketball All-American, Carlton Dixon was enjoying a successful career as a high school basketball coach, then as an athletic director, when the idea for Reveal Suits came upon him. While watching the NBA or NFL draft, Dixon would see athletes wearing creative suits that often represented their colleges, so he thought he would distribute personalized suits with officially licensed lining before the big-name apparel companies could beat him to it. Founded in 2018, Reveal Suits' first big break came when they landed a contract to make Reveal Suits for Florida State and Baylor football teams. Dixon was a 3-year letterman with the University of Texas men basketball program, and in 1998, he earned a bachelor's degree in speech communication from the university. Reveal Suits is a minority and veteran-owned company based in Dallas, Texas, and the company is now one of the growing brands in the fashion industry. Recently, In Black America spoke with founder and CEO Carlton Dixon.
Raised in Dallas. I was born in Chicago. Stayed there for about 6 years and then moved to Dallas back in, 81 now. I'm dating myself, but I grew up in Dallas, in the South Dallas area, inner city area of Dallas. You know, just all kind of great life experiences there. I had the pleasure of winning a state championship at Lincoln High School. Should have had two of them, but that's a whole nother story. And then went on to play at University of Texas and got my degree in communications. And just kind of shaped me for the rest of what was to come.
I heard that. Brothers and sisters?
Yes, sir. Well, the short story is that it's me and my sister Carlisa Dixon, who has emerged as just one of the top high school coaches in the state of Texas. She's just a phenomenal girls basketball coach. And then the long story is that I'm one of 13 when you include all of my father's children. So, you know, heavy, you know, back in Chicago, a lot of them back in Chicago still. And we all have great relationships. So, part of a loving family on both sides.
I heard that. When did you develop that love for basketball?
Oh, man, I'm going to take you back to the fourth grade, the Oak Cliff Lakers, man, playing in the YMCA over at the Keys YMCA. You know, got together with some school friends, and you know, we just began to play and practice every week, and then I began to play for our elementary school's team as well, and just realized that, you know, I might have had a little something, and you know, middle school just began to further develop my game and going to camps. I was at the SMU basketball camp every summer under Billy Tubbs, John Shoemate, both have passed on, but just some incredible teachers of the game. And, you know, by the ninth grade, I was just kind of like, I was starting on varsity, and I was just like, okay, I think we may have something here. And, just kept being a student of the game and learning the game, and the rest is history. Just fortunate to have a great career after that.
I heard that. What did you find special about those state championship teams?
Man, you know, it's just something about doing it with the guys that were from the neighborhood, right? You know, just, you know, we were a bunch of inner city kids. You know, everybody's got, you know, their respective challenges and setbacks, you know, as a product of being in the inner city. But man, when it came to that basketball court, man, we had one common goal. We were 15 brothers that were just determined to accomplish that goal. And I think, you know, being where we were from South Dallas, having to overcome, you know, things that, you know, most other players from other schools didn't have to overcome. And so by us being able to do that, and, you know, keep the focus, you know, keep on top of our grades as well. Just special, man. Just real special. And you know, those are my brothers even to this day.
Was UT the only one that came calling?
No, I was, I was fortunate to get just some incredible home visits. You know, I had, of course, Coach Penders, who ended up, winning me over. But, you know, he was competing with Lute Olson from Arizona, Stu Jackson when he was coaching at Wisconsin at the time, Gene Katie at Purdue. So it actually came down to Purdue and Texas. And I was a real big fan of Coach Katie's, you know, that Big Ten style. I just think at the end of the day, you know, Texas was run and gun. They were on TV and it was close to home to where friends and family could still come and watch me play. And, no regrets at all. Like I said, it was, you know, I had four or five great final choices. You know, fortunate to, you know, I still know where my box of letters is at my mom's house. You know, so I was just fortunate to get letters from all over the country, man. But, you know, UT ended up being a special place. And, zero regrets.
Now, was it about UT that helped you make that transition into athletics as one, as a coach, and then as an athletic director?
Yeah, man, I used to be, I was a student of, you know, of course, basketball, but I was also you know, I was wanting to know and get a better insight into just kind of the madness behind what was on the court. I wanted to, you know, I was interested in the marketing, and I was interested in how they would reach out to the local elementary schools and get them involved. You know, I was just wanting to know a lot about just the machine that was Texas Athletics. And I think I knew at that time that I was going to end up being, you know, I actually was more focused on becoming an athletic director than I was a coach. But fortunately, I ended up accomplishing both. And I just remember, you know, just being there and, you know, walking into, you know, whether it was Kurt Flood's office at the time or the Lost Dodds at the time, just wanted to know just what was making this big machine turn. And, you know, I was just really interested in the behind the scenes stuff, and just hoped one day that I would be able to do that at some level. And I ended up being able to accomplish that at the high school level. So, you know, I was just grateful that, you know, that nobody ever kicked me out of their office when I wanted to learn a little bit more.
Now, you was at North Dallas High School as the coaching athletic director. Was that your choice or Dallas Independent School District's choice?
When I saw the vacancy, and I remember at the time, it was the summer of 2011. I saw the vacancy, and I knew that was my choice. I mean, that was my, that was my time. North Dallas, being a longtime, you know, DISD kid, you know, North Dallas was that school. It was the easy victory, right? You know, they had their challenges from an overall athletic standpoint. They weren't really known for, you know, basketball, football, baseball. They had a strong, you know, tennis and soccer program, but, you know, it was that school that wasn't high on the radar from an athletic standpoint. And so I actually embraced that, and I wanted to go in and put my stamp on it, you know, from a culture standpoint. You know, yeah, we may not have the track record of the best basketball, the best football, but why can't we change that? And so I was, you know, I was hyped up to get the job to change the culture. And I believe in my 3 years that culture was changed. And I'm still a fan of what they're doing over there now, still building, you know, and perhaps they won't reach from the basketball football standpoint, maybe they won't reach the heights of a Lincoln or a South Oak Cliff or a Kimball, but I was very, very proud of what we were able to accomplish, and just to see, you know, how their mindsets changed, and they kind of adopted my mentality of why not us, right? And it was just good to see those small victories over there that we were able to accomplish. And like I said, I'm still a big fan, big supporter of what they have going on there.
Being a former athlete yourself and the students knowing that, what were some of the challenges that you had to overcome, and why was it important for you to kind of nurture these young men?
I think that, you know, from my basketball team standpoint, they saw how much of a competitor I still was. Like at that time, you know, I was still mid-30s, man. So, you know, still, I was still, you know, cocking that thing behind my head at that, you know, during that time. And so I say that to say that I think they saw how, whether it was, you know, me coaching them or me playing against them, I think they saw what my mentality was. And I was just like, hey, if you're on the other side, whoever you are, I'm still trying to kill you. And I think that they saw that repeatedly in me, to where they were like, oh shoot, we need to get down like that. And I think it helped, you know, and I, you know, still hear from a few, you know, of them to this day, you know, just kind of thanking me for that mindset that we were able to instill. And like I said, before I got there, it was just, you know, hey, we're just doing this just to do it. But I was just like, oh, anytime I step on this floor, we're not doing it just to do it. We're doing it to win. And I could slowly start seeing that attitude being developed. And, you know, I was, like I said, I think in 3 years, I was able to empower those young men. And then as an athletic director, even the young women on the women's sports, just able to empower them to think the same way. And hey, let's change the culture here. And so, that was a very rewarding experience for me, knowing, for the most part that there weren't going to be any state championships. There weren't going to be any, huge accolades, but to see the culture that changed, the way the culture changed, the way that we were able to instill confidence in those young men and women, man, that was huge for me. So definitely thankful for that.
You're listening to In Black America with Johnny O. Hanson Jr. We'll be back in just a moment.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Carlton Dixon, former high school and college basketball star, coach, athletic director, and founder and CEO of Real Suits. Mr. Dixon, when did you come up with the idea of apparel? Obviously, you was having a successful career in high school as a coach and athletic director, and you pivoted. Why so?
Yeah, man, back in, I'll call it 2015, 2016 now, just kind of started seeing the shift towards, fashion within sports, right? Whether it was what are guys wearing on draft night or what's Russell Westbrook wearing walking into the game this week, what's Cam Newton wearing walking into the game? So I just started to see that blend. And I just had the thought, what if there was a way to represent your favorite team or your alma mater, your college, with a suit, all of the Longhorn stuff that I had in my closet at the time, a polo, a sweatshirt, a cap, a t-shirt. And I was like, man, I don't have a suit. Like, this would be next level. And so it really just became the whole vision just began from I wonder if this is even possible. And so I just started playing with some different just kind of visions in my head. And I came, I landed at the inner lining concept, and I started, just kind of putting it out there to, a few people who I kind of trusted who were, already in the collegiate sports space. And just kind of getting their feedback, like, hey, give me honest feedback on this. Would you buy this for your players? Would you rep this as a coach? Would you, just kind of any forms of those questions? And I just got nothing but positive feedback. And, the process clearly is not as cut and dry and as simple as I'm, making it out to be, perhaps. Once I decided to go for it, it was a good 15-month process from a licensing standpoint, from the standpoint of just learning about the industry, getting my supply chain together. I'm a communications major, man. I didn't go to school for anything, like this. And so it was a big learning curve for me if this was what I wanted to explore. And made the decision to, my wife and I, we were just like, hey, let's go for it. And, and that's exactly what we did. And so it was really just trying to figure out if this product, this new product, I wasn't creating a new garment. The suit's been around for 300 years, but putting that different spin on it from a college license standpoint, that's what I was determined to do. And so far so good.
Now you came up with the idea for the inner lining. We see patches on the outside on the pocket. So when you came up with that particular thought, how did you envision the inner lining looking like?
Yeah, it was, I knew that that was the direction I wanted to go. And it, you know, from an inner lining standpoint, number one, it was, I thought it was a very subtle way to accomplish what I was trying to accomplish. I think, you know, I had the thought of, you know, okay, do I put this Longhorn on the outside? Nah, that may limit, you know, where I can wear the suit and, you know, probably can't walk up in just a general, you know, kind of setting.
You couldn't walk on A&M campus with that.
Yeah.
Okay,
right?
I got you.
And so, you know, it was just one of those things. I was just like, okay, this inside route, I think is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I make this happen? And so then it was just a, it was just a matter of research and development, and, you know, getting, I probably went through 20 different suppliers to get some samples made. And, you know, I found one that found, you know, that checked all of the boxes I was looking for, because I wanted to know that they could do, you know, both male and female suits. I wanted to know that their turnaround time was good. It was just quite a few boxes that I wanted to be checked. And yeah, we ended up finding that supplier, and everything was able to come together. And within a few weeks after I officially put it out there, I had Florida State football and Baylor football ready to buy for their entire teams. And so once that happened, I was like, okay, this is game on now. No looking back.
Now, when you got those initial contracts, was it somewhat overwhelming? You said, now, you know, it's show and tell. Now I got to produce.
Yes, it was. and if, you know, if anybody that was in that position said otherwise, I'd have to look at them upside down a little bit.
I know that's right.
It was, you know, that's just, you know, it's the show and tell. It's the pressure. Thankfully, I've been able to draw, you know, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I draw from the experience that I had in big games, right? In eight title games, in March Madness games, you know, it's game on now. And so you got to rise to the occasion. And so I took that very seriously. I made sure that things were, you know, done properly, in place, that this whole experience that we were about to give these teams is going to be very efficient. And I just took that very seriously. And thankfully it was able to, you know, it was all able to come together real, really good.
Now, what is it? Is it a standard turnaround time, or it depends on how many garments you need to produce?
Depends on the number. I mean,
okay.
But my turnaround times are good, even from an individual suit standpoint, maybe up until about, call it 25 suits, 25 garments. My turnaround time is right at about 3 weeks. Now, if we're doing a big football team, typically that goes to about 4 to 5 weeks, which is still, you know, which is still very well received, still very good, you know, within the industry, within the market. And so we're very proud and happy about the turnaround times and where we've gotten those to.
Now, when the teams come to you, either be collegiate or professional, obviously the licensing is probably part of that agreement. But talk to us about that process of, one, a professional sports franchise is obtaining licenses, and also the other collegiate schools, that process that you have to go through to, you know, to get they okay to use their logos.
Yeah, so the collegiate space, you know, that's you got to go through the NCAA for that. You know, they have a licensing entity you go through, and, you know, there's all kind of due diligence that they do about your company, your brand. You want to make sure that you're in compliance with all the colors and knowing the do's and don'ts from a trademark standpoint. You know, they're going to look at your supply chain, make sure that everything's on the up and up there. And like I said, it was a good year plus process. And so they're going to do a deep dive of your company, make sure that at the end of the day, making sure that they can trust us as the company to deliver these goods that represents the brands that they govern. You know, there's been a lot of counterfeit stuff that's gone out over the years. And so they're going to make sure that you're legit. And that's why it takes the length of time that it did. But I was dead set on seeing the process through. And yeah, we made it on the other side.
Talk to us about the University of Texas program that they initiated for, one, alumnus, but also having you part of a program for minorities to participate in doing business with the UT.
Yeah. You know, of course, just coming back home and to be able to have, you know, the alma mater support the brand. We became an official partner back in 2020, which kind of helped set the tone for a lot of the business that we have there now. You know, a lot of the faces, you know, some of the faces that were there when I was playing, you know, who are still there, okay. played big roles in you know, helping us get across the finish line from a business standpoint. You know, there's still the licensing piece that you got to go through, and nobody can escape that. But I think that they were very excited to, you know, get Reveal on board. You know, the story just was a great story. Former student athlete, former player, guy who graduated in 4 years. Now he's coming back to provide our current student athletes from all sports with this professional attire that also represents the Longhorn brand. So I'm very grateful to, you know, Chris Plonsky, you know, Coach Conrad, even in her retirement, just being an advocate for the brand, even back when Shaka was there, just really been fortunate to have some great support from some of those leaders like that. And I'm sure it's a few other names that I'm, you know, failing to remember, but just some really good support once we were ready to activate our presence there on the 40 acres.
I found it interesting when I was doing research for this conversation. Obviously, you're familiar with Orange, but when the NBA came calling the Hall of Fame, you all had to research a certain type of orange. And what was that like when you got that phone call and say, we want you to outfit our inductees?
Man, the craziest day that I can remember. I remember almost what I had on. I remember the time of day.
Right.
I was sitting in my office, and just to see Naismith Hall of Fame even appear on my caller ID, just thought it was a joke. And to hear that, number one, that they have just been watching us, watching our activity on social media, on LinkedIn, that was just phenomenal to hear. And then for them to tell us that they wanted us, not were we interested, but to hear them tell us that they wanted us and they had been advised to come and find us. You know, as a former hooper, that was just, I mean, that was incredible to me, you know, just knowing that this sport that I love and live, breathe, eat, sleep, that the highest of the highest in that sport was, you know, a fan of ours and wanted to align themselves with us, man. It was just, that was a surreal day. I remember calling my wife as soon as I got off the phone, and I was just like, you won't believe what just happened. And, you know, I mean, of course, it took some business negotiations to make everything work. But to see how they wanted us and wanted to integrate Reveal into what they were doing and how they wanted to elevate the Naismith Hall of Fame brand, you know, just couldn't be more grateful. I mean, Jerry Colangelo and, you know, all those, I mean, it's just surreal. Every year we do it, and we're coming up on our fifth year right now, and every year we're there, it still just seems unreal. And you know, for me, it's just one of the biggest validations of, you know, man, we may really be doing something. Just one of the biggest validations that Reveal has ever had.
Carlton Dixon, founder and CEO of Reveal Suits. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and X. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Also, you can listen to a special collection of In Black America programs at American Archive of Public Broadcasting. That's AmericanArchives.org. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. Until we have the opportunity again, for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.
In Black America and KUT Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters helping to bring diversity to the airwaves. You can find more shows like In Black America in the NPR Network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Johnny L. Hansen, Jr.
I'm Jimmy Moss.
And I'm Juan Garcia.
And we are back in 2025 for Season 2 of Vamos Verde.
We give you an inside look at Austin's Major League Soccer team, Austin FC.
And we also give you a deeper look into the art and culture surrounding the team and the city of Austin.
The players.
The artists.
People you know.
People you need to know.
Listen to Vamos Verde every other week from KUT Radio, part of the NPR network.
From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
You know, just knowing that this sport that I love, live, breathe, eat, sleep, that the highest of the highest in that sport was, you know, a fan of ours and wanted to align themselves with us, man. It was just, that was a surreal day. I remember calling my wife as soon as I got off the phone, and I was just like, you won't believe what just happened. And, you know, I mean, of course, it took some business negotiations to make everything work. But to see how they wanted us and wanted to integrate Reveal into what they were doing and how they wanted to elevate the Naismith Hall of Fame brand, you know, just couldn't be more grateful. I mean, Jerry Colangelo and, you know, all those. I mean, it's just surreal. Every year we do it. And we're coming up on our fifth year right now. And every year we're there, it still just seems unreal.
Carlton Dixon, former Star High School and collegiate basketball player, high school coach and athletic director, and founder and CEO of Reveal Suits. In 2018, former high school athletic director and basketball coach and University of Texas at Austin alum Dixon launched Reveal Suits. Reveal Suits specializes in crafting high-quality custom suits and blazers for both men and women. Today, Reveal Suits has licenses for 90 colleges and is generating over $1 million a year. The company has landed apparel contracts to suit up inductees for the College Football Hall of Fame, National Soccer Hall of Fame, and members of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame for bowl games, the NFL Alumni Association, HBCU All-Stars, the Ivy League, and the Big 12 Conference. I'm John L. Hansen, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Reveal Suits with founder and CEO Carlton Dixon, Part 2, In Black America.
I think Reveal can be the biggest brand name in high-end sports fashion. You know, we got the licenses, we have the partnerships and affiliations to walk into any room, any entity, you know, with you know, not only the Naismith, our recent College Football Hall of Fame designation, now we're kind of in that football world. I just think we have the ingredients to become something that the industry has never seen. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. Is it going to be quick? Of course not. But we're in the right rooms. We have the right partnerships and relationships. Now it's just, you know, I'm actually calling this, you know, kind of phase two, second quarter, if you will. It's been 6 years. And, you know, I think we're just now kind of scratching the surface of what it is that we're going to do. So I think Reveal could be easily become that brand that is synonymous with high-end fashion when it comes to sports.
Born in Chicago, Carlton Dixon was raised in South Dallas, Texas. He learned early in life about the value of hard work and perseverance. Besides being a stellar athlete, he was also serious about his studies. He was a national merit finalist and a basketball All-American. After winning a state basketball championship while attending Dallas Lincoln High School, the University of Texas came calling with a full basketball scholarship. In 1998, he graduated with a bachelor's degree in speech communications. After graduation, Dixon spent time as a basketball coach and athletic director within the Dallas Independent School District. In 2016, while watching the NBA and NFL draft, a light went off. How cool would it be to have a suit that represents the college you attended or something special in your life? 15 months later, Revealed Suits was born. Revealed Suits provide upscale signature branded merchandise to business professionals, fraternities, sororities, sports organizations, and a host of clientele who desire to stand out among their peers. On today's program, we include our conversation with founder and CEO, Carlton Dixon.
I think they saw what my mentality was, and I was just like, hey, if you're on the other side, whoever you are, and I think that they saw that repeatedly in me to where they were like, oh, shoot, we need to get down like that. And I think it helped. You know? And I, you know, still hear from a few, you know, of them to this day, you know, just kind of thanking me for that mindset that we were able to instill. And like I said, before I got there, it was just a, you know, hey, we're just doing this just to do it. But I was just like, oh, anytime I step on this floor, we're not doing it just to do it. We're doing it to win. And I could slowly start seeing that attitude being developed. And, you know, I was, like I said, I think in 3 years, I was able to empower those young men. And then as an athletic director, even the young women on the women's sports, just able to empower them to think the same way. And hey, let's change the culture here. And so, you know, that was a very rewarding experience for me, you know, knowing, you know, for the most part that we, you know, there weren't going to be any state championships. There weren't going to be any, you know, huge, huge accolades, but to see the culture that changed, the way the culture changed, and the way that we were able to instill confidence in those young men and women, man, that was huge for me. So definitely thankful for that.
Mr. Dixon, when did you come up with the idea of apparel? Obviously, you was having a successful career in high school as a coach and athletic director, and you pivoted. Why so?
Yeah, back in, I'll call it 2015, 2016 now, just kind of started seeing the shift towards, you know, fashion within sports, right? Whether it was what are guys wearing on draft night, or what's Russell Westbrook wearing walking into the game this week? You know, what's Cam Newton wearing walking into the game? So I just started to see that blend, and I just had the thought, like, you know, man, you know, this could, you know, what if there was a way to represent your favorite team or your alma mater, your college, with a suit, you know, all of the Longhorn stuff that I had in my closet at the time, a polo, a sweatshirt, a cap, a t-shirt. And I was like, man, I don't have a suit. Like, this would be next level. And so it really just the whole vision just began from I wonder if this is even possible. And so I just started playing with some different just kind of visions in my head. And I came, you know, I landed at the inner lining concept. And I started, you know, just kind of putting it out there to, you know, a few people who I kind of trusted who were, you know, already in the collegiate sports space, and just kind of getting their feedback. Like, hey, give me honest feedback on this. Would you buy this for your players? Would you rep this as a coach? Would you, you know, just kind of what, you know, any forms of those questions. and I just got nothing but positive feedback. And, you know, the process clearly is not as cut and dry and as simple as I'm, you know, making it out to be, perhaps. It was a, you know, once I decided to go for it, it was a good 15-month process from a licensing standpoint, from the standpoint of just learning about the industry, getting my supply chain together. You know, I'm a communications major, man. I didn't go to school for anything, you know, like this. And so it was a big learning curve for me if this was what I wanted to explore. And, you know, made a decision to, you know, my wife and I, we were just like, hey, let's go for it. And, you know, and that's exactly what we did. So it was really just trying to figure out if this new product, yeah, I wasn't creating a new garment. The suit's been around for 300 years, but putting that different spin on it from a college license standpoint, that's what I was determined to do. And, you know, so far, so good.
Now, you came up with the idea for the inner lining. You know, we see patches on the outside, on the pocket. So when you came up with that particular thought, how did you envision the inner lining looking like?
Yeah, it was, I knew that was the direction I wanted to go, you know, from an inner lining standpoint. Number one, I thought it was a very subtle way to accomplish what I was trying to accomplish. I think, you know, I had the thought of, you know, okay, do I put this Longhorn on the outside? Nah, that may limit, you know, where I can wear the suit. And, you know, probably can't walk up in just a general, you know, kind of setting.
You couldn't walk on A&M campus with that.
Yeah.
Okay,
right?
I got you.
And so, you know, it was just one of those things. I was just like, okay, this inside route, I think is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I make this happen? And so then it was just a matter of research and development, and, you know, I probably went through 20 different suppliers to get some samples made. And, you know, I found one that found, you know, that checked all of the boxes I was looking for, because I wanted to know that they could do, you know, both male and female suits. I wanted to know that their turnaround time was good. It was just quite a few boxes that I wanted to be checked. And yeah, we ended up finding that supplier and everything was able to come together. And within a few weeks after I officially put it out there, I had Florida State football and Baylor football ready to buy for their entire teams. And so once that happened, I was like, okay, this is game on now. No looking back.
Now, when you got those initial contracts, was it someone overwhelming? Said, now, you know, it's show and tell. Now I got to produce.
Yes, it was. and if, you know, if anybody that was in that position said otherwise, I'd have to look at them upside down a little bit.
I know that's right.
It was, you know, that's just, you know, it's the show and tell. It's the pressure. Thankfully, I've been able to draw, you know, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I draw from the experience that I had in big games, right? In state title games, in March Madness games, you know, it's game on. And so you got to rise to the occasion. And so I took that very seriously. I made sure that things were, you know, done properly, in place, that this whole experience that we were about to give these teams is going to be very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took that very seriously. And thankfully it was able to, you know, it was all able to come together real, really good.
Now, what is it? Is it a standard turnaround time, or it depends on how many garments you need to produce?
Depends on the number. I mean,
okay.
But my turnaround times are good, even from an individual suit standpoint, maybe up until about, I'm going to call it 25 suits, 25 garments. My turnaround time is right at about 3 weeks. Now, if we're doing a big football team, typically that goes to about 4 to 5 weeks, which is still, you know, which is still very well received, still very good, you know, within the industry, within the market. And so, we're very proud and happy about the turnaround times and where we've gotten those to.
You're listening to In Black America with John L. Hansen Jr. We'll be back with more of our conversation in just a moment.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hansen, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Carlton Dixon, former high school and college basketball star, coach, athletic director, and founder and CEO of Real Seuss. Now, when the teams come to you, either be collegiate or professional, obviously the licensing is probably part of that agreement. But talk to us about that process of, one, a professional sports franchises obtaining licenses, and also the other collegiate schools, that process that you have to go through to get they okay to use their logos.
Yeah, so the collegiate space, you got to go through the NCAA for that. You know, they have a licensing entity you go through, and, there's all kind of due diligence that they do about your company, your brand. Want to make sure that you're in compliance with all the colors and knowing the do's and don'ts from a trademark standpoint. You know, they're going to look at your supply chain, make sure that everything's on the up and up there. And like I said, it was a good year plus process. And so they're going to do a deep dive of your company, make sure that at the end of the day, making sure that they can trust us as the company to deliver these goods that represents the brands that they govern. You know, there's been a lot of counterfeit stuff that's gone out over the years. And so they're going to make sure that you're legit. And that's why it takes the length of time that it did. But I was dead set on seeing the process through, and yeah, we made it on the other side.
Talk to us about the University of Texas program that they initiated for, one, alumnus, but also having you part of a program for minorities to participate in doing business with UT.
Yeah. You know, of course, just coming back home and to be able to have, the alma mater support the brand. We became an official partner back in 2020, which kind of helped set the tone for a lot of the business that we have there now. You know, a lot of the faces, you know, some of the faces that were there when I was playing, you know, who are still there, okay. played big roles in helping us get across the finish line from a business standpoint. You know, there's still the licensing piece that you got to go through, and nobody can escape that. But I think that they were very excited to, you know, get Reveal on board. You know, the story just was a great story. Former student athlete, former player, guy who graduated in 4 years. Now he's coming back to provide our current student athletes from all sports with this professional attire that also represents the Longhorn brand. So I'm very grateful to Chris Plonsky, you know, Coach Conrad, even in her retirement, just being an advocate for the brand, even back when Shaka was there, just really been fortunate to have some great support from some of those leaders like that. And I'm sure it's a few other names that I'm, you know, failing to remember, but just some really good support once we were ready to activate our presence there on the 40 acres.
I found it interesting when I was doing research for this conversation. Obviously, you're familiar with Orange, but when the NBA came calling the Hall of Fame, you all had to research a certain type of orange. And what was that like when you got that phone call and say, we want you to outfit our inductees?
Man, the craziest day that I can remember. I remember almost what I had on. I remember the time of day, right. Sitting in my office, and just to see Naismith Hall of Fame even appear on my caller ID. Just thought it was a joke. And to hear that, number one, that they have just been watching us, watching our activity on social media, on LinkedIn, that was just phenomenal to hear. And then for them to tell us that they wanted us, not were we interested, but to hear them tell us that they wanted us and they had been advised to come and find us, you know, as a former Hooper, that was just, I mean, that was incredible to me, you know, just knowing that this sport that I love and live, breathe, eat, sleep, that the highest of the highest in that sport was, you know, a fan of ours and wanted to align themselves with us, man. It was just, that was a surreal day. I remember calling my wife as soon as I got off the phone, and I was just like, you won't believe what just happened. And, you know, I mean, of course, it took some business negotiations to make everything work, but to see how they wanted us and wanted to integrate Reveal into what they were doing and how they wanted to elevate the Naismith Hall of Fame brand, you know, just couldn't be more grateful. I mean, Jerry Colangelo and, you know, all those, I mean, it was just, it's just surreal. Every year we do it, we're coming up on our fifth year right now, and every year we're there, it still just seems unreal. And, you know, for me, it's just one of the biggest validations of, you know, man, we may really be doing something. Just one of the biggest validations that Reveal has ever had.
Speaking of Reveal, how did you come up with the name for the company?
You know, so I got to give that to my wife, man. you know, it was, you know, we were trying to come up with different names and, you know, all this type of stuff. And then, you know, it was just kind of like, when you're opening it up and showing your college or showing whatever, you're kind of revealing, you know, where you graduated from. And I was just like, man, Reveal, that works. And it was literally that simple, man. You know, it was just the perfect descriptor of what it is that, you know, I wanted our suits and apparel to be known for. You know, letting people know your story, whether you graduated from or your family history or, you know, just whatever. But it was just the perfect word to describe what we were all about.
Obviously, you're moving along. What are your long-term goal and vision for Reveal Suits?
I think Reveal can be the biggest brand name in high-end sports fashion. You know, we got the licenses, we have the partnerships and affiliations to walk into any room, any entity, you know, with you know, not only the Naismith, our recent College Football Hall of Fame designation. Now we're kind of in that football world. I just think we have the ingredients to become something that the industry has never seen. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. Is it going to be quick? Of course not. But we're, like I said, we're in the right rooms. We have the right partnerships and relationships. Now it's just, you know, I'm actually calling this, you know, kind of phase two, second quarter, if you will. It's been 6 years, and you know, I think we're just now kind of scratching the surface of what it is that we're going to do. So I think Reveal could easily become. That brand that is synonymous with high-end fashion when it comes to sports. And we also want to, you know, we also want to resonate outside of sports, right? You know, whether it's corporate accounts or fraternity sororities or just whatever the case may be. We want to take over the industry. And I think that we've created a good blueprint. Now it's just a matter of growing it, scaling it, and, you know, really putting some meat on this thing, but couldn't have asked for a better start.
Are you looking at the 2028 Olympic apparel?
I am. Yep, I sure am. I've had some early conversations with some people. They have a couple contracts that are already in place, but you know, there's plenty of opportunity there. And being that it's here on U.S. soil helps us out a lot. And I've been able to have some relevant early conversations, and then we'll just keep pushing it, keep our fingers crossed to where it may get us.
Couple more questions, Mr. Dixon. What has been your favorite or enjoyable, intriguing inner line that you've done thus far?
Pau Gasol, easy. When he came when we got with him and sat with him, what we do with each of the Naismith inductees, we, you know, just kind of talk to them about the process, what can be done with us. And his first thing he said, I want to honor Kobe in my lining. And he was just like, however that needs to happen, you tell me the best way. And he sent a variety of pictures, about 12, maybe 14 pictures total, but five or six of them were him and Kobe holding the trophy, him with Vanessa and the girls. And he was just dead set on making that a very prominent part of his basketball story inside of his jacket. And to see the way that finished jacket, the way that it turned out, I'm not prouder than any other jacket than what we did for Pau Gasol. So that's a quick, easy answer for me. Here's by far.
Now, when you all go through the process of making this apparel, do some of the indies select the materials they want to have the suits or jackets made of, or is that on you?
As far as the Hall of Fame inductees?
Yes.
The Hall of Fame inductees, so their jackets are already kind of determined. Now, as far as the exterior look and feel of it, now they can add little touches here and there, but for those, the Hall of Fame entities themselves kind of determine what they want that finished exterior product to look like.
Any final comments, Mr. Dixon?
Man, again, number one, just thank you for having me. You know, anytime I can talk back with, you know, my Austin roots is also, you know, always fun. Yeah, Reveal is, you know, like I was saying, we're here to stay. And I think we have the ingredients to be something really special. And at the end of the day, it's just, you know, it's been great. Even as the founder, it's been great just watching it grow and watching the opportunities that have come to us. We're just so fortunate from somebody who didn't know anything about the industry to, you know, building something that's become, you know, halfway attractive. So just, it's been fun, man. And, you know, looking forward to the next 6 years.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this final question. Obviously, you can't do this by yourself. You had already mentioned your wife. Who are the other individuals that make up your team?
Yeah, amazing partner. His name's David Fennessy, who joined the team back in 2019 now. 19 or 2020, fairly early on. But just, you know, an amazing partner there. He's a minority stake owner in the business. And then, you know, you have supporters and consultants like Larry Lundy, Tara Hooper, who's my amazing stylist and sales girl. We have an awesome tailor, Lamont Moore, who's on board. And, you know, just been fortunate to have some employees over the years that, you know, some have come and gone, you know, due to personal reasons or other opportunities, but certainly haven't just been here doing it completely by myself. And then at the end of the day, just the solid support of my wife, who's been right by the side the entire time. So it's been a good group effort, and I'm honored to be overseeing it.
Carlton Dixon, founder and CEO of Reveal Suits. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and X. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Also, you can listen to a special collection of In Black America programs at American Archive of Public Broadcasting. That's AmericanArchives.org. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessary, though, of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. Until we have the opportunity again, for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again
at RCT Pittsburgh.
Well, you may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Let me tell you, God Almighty's